We're holding on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, just past the middle of the Amud, the line begins Min HaMazikin. We discussed yesterday that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue about when the world was created, in Nisan or in Tishrei, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Nisan according to Rabbi Yeshua, and a few other events in Jewish history that happen. When they happen, the births and the paths and the passings of the Avos and the Geula Amitis Vashlema. In Tishrei according to Rabbi Eliezer and in Nisan according to Rabbi Yeshua, we said there are a couple of them, like for example Yitzchak, everybody agrees was born on Pesach, etc. So now the Gemara says V'ozdu l'taymayu. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are going according to their respective shittis when they're saying that the world was created in Tishrei or when the world was created in Nisan. They're going according to their respective shittis in dating the Mabul. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk describes the beginning of the Mabul, the Shnas Sheshme Estrana L'chaye Noyach, in the 600th year of Noyach's life, V'chodesh Hasheni, in the second month, V'shiva Asi Yom L'chodesh, on the 17th of the month. So what do we mean by Chodesh Hasheni? Now usually, in the Torah, the months are counted from Nisan, so Chodesh Hasheni would mean Iyar. But we're going to see that it doesn't necessarily. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer, that day was the 17th of Iyar. Now, Rashi starts by pointing out like this. Everybody is going to have to agree. Everybody agrees that the Mabul lasted over a year. It lasted a year and 10 days. Also, everybody agrees, Rashi points out, that it has to be that it didn't become a new year until almost the end of the Mabul. Why? Because the Torah first tells us over here that it began in Noach's 600th year. When does it mention that it turned over a year and became the 601st year? It says when it reached Bachodesh HaRishon, on the first month, the first day of the month. So for example, you can't say, let's say, that the Mabul began in Cheshvan, and then you can't say the Mabul began in Cheshvan, but we're still counting the months from Nisan. In other words, we're going to say that the year begins in Nisan, because if we did that, what would happen is, what do you have? The timeline of the Mabul is, there was 40 days of rain, then there's 150 days of the water churning. Rashi learns, which the Ramban disagrees with, but anyway, Rashi learns over here and in Chumash, that you have 40 days of rain, and then 150 days of Vayigbru Amayim Al Ha'aretz, of the water churning. And when does all that end? Only when we reach 7 months after, 8 months after the Mabul began. 190 days you're talking total, which is over 6 months. So Rashi here and on the Psukim explains that when it says that the Teva landed on Hore Ararat on the 17th of the seventh month, Rashi explains it means the seventh month since the rains stopped. So let's say, for example, we take a coin to Rabbi Eliezer. Let's say we said that the Mabul began in Cheshvan. It would mean you have Cheshvan and most, the end of Cheshvan and most of Kislev, it's raining until the 27th of, till up till and including the 27th of Kislev. The next 150 days from then until Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the water is churning. Then the water starts gradually decreasing. And on the 17th of Sivan, the Teva lands on Hore Ararat. And then from there, the water keeps on drying up, and eventually Noach sends out the Orev and the Yonah, and then gradually things are improving from there. So now Rashi points out, if you were to say, let's say, that the Mabul began in Cheshvan, but the new year for this purpose begins in Nisan, then already when it comes to the Teva landing, it should already say that was in the 601st year, and it doesn't. When does it first mention the 601st year? Only at a much later stage, after he sent out the Orev, after he sent out the Yonah, when he opens up the top of the Teva and finds that the earth is already dry on top. So if we're going to say that Chodesh Hasheni means year, necessarily it must mean, according to the opinion, that the year begins in Nisan. So then, from Iyar until Nisan, 11 months later, only then does the 601st year begin. Similarly, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you're going to say the Mabul started in Cheshvan, it has to be that we're counting the beginnings of the years from Tishrei. So that's what we mean by Va'ozdu L'taymayu. That's what we mean, that each of them is going according to his own shitta, not just in saying what Chodesh Hasheni means, but that can only be made to fit if they say the year begins in Tishrei or Nisan, respectively. So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, In the 600th year of Noach's life, in the second month, on the 17th of the month. So what day was that? Rabbi Yeshua says that day was the 17th of Iyar, which again, he's going l'shitasai, that the year for this purpose begins with Nisan. He's, according to him, the world was created in Nisan, therefore every new year begins from Nisan. Now on that day, on the 17th of Iyar, is the time when Mazel Kima is Shekeya during the day. Now what is Mazel Kima? So you have like this, there are many mazolos in the sky. All of the stars in the sky are grouped into various mazolos based on their appearance. In particular, there's 12 of them that form, in English it's called the zodiac. It's a belt that runs around the sky along the path of the sun. So what happens is, for example, like this, when we talk about, so there's 12 of them along that corresponding to the 12 months of the year. When we say, for example, that the mazel of Nisan is Tle, the mazel of Iyar is Shur, and so forth, what it means is that when these groups of stars were named, which the Rambam says was around the time of the Mabul, then you had, for example, the beginning of Nisan, the sun would be rising, the background stars behind where it's rising would be the stars of Mazel Tle. Now, you're only going to see them when the sun is first rising, because after that, the sun outshines them. So you'd have that. Now, throughout the day, what happens is the stars in the heaven, as well as the sun and the moon, are all tuning with the sky. The Rambam describes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah that you have these individual galgalim, individual spheres in which you have the sun and the moon and the star and the sun and the moon and the various planets, and then you have a sphere that has all these stars, including the stars of the mazolos, and then you have what the Rambam describes as a galgal hayomi, one big sphere outside all of them that turns all of them. It's like gears meshing together. So you have the sun and the moon and so forth have their own motions from west to east, but the Galgal HaYomi turns from east to west, and that's what makes the sun rise in the morning and set in the evening, and the moon rise at some point in the day and set and so forth, because they're all being dragged along using this Galgal HaYomi. To put it in terms of how scientists think nowadays, it's the other way around, that the Earth turns on its axis, and therefore we see this. Therefore, we see the objects in the sky moving. Anyway, the point is, so what happens is, for example, so let's say at the beginning of Nisan, so you have Mazel Tle rises at the same time as the sun. About 2 hours later, Mazel Shur begins rising, because the stars, meanwhile, are turning, that entire belt of stars, and all the stars are moving in the sky. So 2 hours later, you have Mazel Shur is rising, but of course you don't see it because daylight and it's impossible to see them. And 2 hours later, Mazel Ta'imim, and so on and so forth. And so during the 24 hours of the day, each of them rises at some point. But you only see the ones, of course, at night and then right before the sun is rising. Then what happens is, so now day by day, they rise a little bit later. So Tosfos mentions over here something about shtei shoyes im chelak echad mishloshin bashar. Tosfos over here mentions something about 2 hours plus 1/30th of an hour, which is 2 minutes. In other words, so what happens is the next day, the day after the Tkufa of Nisan. So at the Tkufa of Nisan, we're saying then the sun rises together with the beginning of, and then the Mazel Tle is the background stars for it. A day later, it's the same thing, but it's shifted over by about 2 minutes. The next day, another 2 minutes after that, and so forth. So that by the time you come, 30 days later, the beginning of solar year. We talked a few days ago about lunar and solar Nisan and lunar and solar year and so forth. So about a month after the spring equinox, you have instead, when the sun is rising, the background stars for it are the stars of Mazel Shur, and so forth. And so it goes throughout the whole year. So nowadays, nowadays things have shifted a little bit. If you look on a star map or an app nowadays that shows how these things are, you'll find that when the sun is rising around at the time of the spring equinox, the background stars for it are actually the stars of Pisces, which is Mazel Dogin, because it's several thousand years. It's 4,000 years since the Mabul, and things shift over time. Anyway, Now, Rashi learns over here that when we say shekeah, what we really mean, literally the word shekeah means set. Oh, so okay. So mazal, so kima is not one of the 12 mazalis per se. It's a part of some other mazal. Based on Rashi over here and also in Brachas and other places, it comes out on the face of it that kima is some part of mazal tle. It's a group of stars within mazal tle, or between it and mazal shur. The Gemara in Brachas mentions that it's called kima because it has 100 stars in it. Kimeya koichi. It has about 100 stars in it. What is that group of stars in modern terms? So most people identify it with a group of stars called the Pleiades, which you have, it has six bright stars in it, and then it has a couple of hundred other much dimmer ones. If you ever look at the Subaru logo, it's a representation of that group of stars. The word Subaru is actually the Japanese name of that group of stars. And there are maybe some arguments that something else. Marsha in Brachas talks about possibilities that maybe it's part of Mazal Akrav, which is a different one of the 12 Mazalos. Anyway, whatever it is, let's go with the understanding over here, the simple understanding that it's part of Mazal Tle. So therefore, in other words, so Nisan time, again, Mazal Tle is rising in the morning. By the time you get to Iyar time, Shur is rising in the morning. Now Rashi learns that the word Shekea, for our purposes, doesn't mean setting. It means actually that it's already above the horizon and it's heading towards where it's going to set. So in other words, in Rashi's terminology, Rashi would understand that when the Gemara says over here that a certain mazal is shekeya, it means that at sunrise, it's already above the horizon. And sometime during the day, it's going to set. 12 hours later, it's going to set below the horizon. So therefore, so during Iyar, kima is, which again is part of Mazal Shle, or part of Mazal Tle, or maybe to be more exact, someplace between it and Mazal Shur, is rising in the morning. But Rashi calls it Shekeya in the sense that it's already above the horizon when the sun rises. So that's the time of year. Rabbi Yeshua says when Mazal Kima is Shekeya, meaning that it's already above the horizon and moving towards the position where it's going to set in the daytime. There is actually at the end of the so first of all, Tosfos argues on that. Tosfos says, what kind of an explanation of that is for Shekeya? The word Shekeya means setting. So therefore, Tosfos explains that rather we are talking about that it means that it's setting. And Tosfos flips around the Girsa. Tosfos has instead flips around the Girsa that Rabbi Yeshua is saying that at the time when Mazal Kima is Oila Bayom, which astronomically is correct. It's at the time when Mazal Kima is rising during the day as the background to the sun. And then later on, when we mention Abeliezer, we're going to say the other way around that Mazal, that the Mazal is Shekeya. So again, Rashi is having to take the words Oila and Shekeya, kind of the opposite of their usual meanings, where Oila means that it's still below the horizon and yet to come above it, and Shekeya would mean it's above the horizon and yet to set. At the end of the Masechta, there is a note, there's a Haggah printed over there at the end of the Masechta from Rashi's Talmudim that belongs over here, where they explain that Rashi himself originally explained it a different way, more like the way the Aruch does, which is like this. So we're saying that astronomically and practically, when you look at them, each mazel takes 2 hours approximately to rise, and they circle throughout the 24 hours of the day, 2 hours per mazel. But, you know, we have, for example, when we talk about, we also talk about the word mazalos, we talk about the planets. You have Chama and Levana and Koichav, Mercury and Noiga, which is Venus, and so on and so forth. And for example, we talk about that each of them has a certain influence for an hour at a time. Like we have, for example, the Gemara discusses it in Shabbos and in Pesachim and in other places. It's the reason, for example, that we don't make Kiddush between 6 and 7 p.m. on Friday night, because if you calculate the hours relative to the days, it comes out that time, the first hour of Friday, the first hour of Shabbos by night, is the Mazal of Madim, which is Mars, and that's associated with war and bloodshed and so forth, and it's not an appropriate time to bring in Shabbos, which is why we don't make Kiddush, which is why the Minig is not to make Kiddush during that time. So if you calculate like that, then you have, there's an hour each day, so you have after Madim comes the next one, and the next one after that. Now that doesn't have any physical representation. It's not like you look between 6 and 7 on Friday night, and you're going to see Madim more strongly than you do on other times. What it means is it's a matter of calculation. It's a matter of astrological influence or whatever, rather than what you actually see in the sky. So the Aruch explains in this original, in this note of Rashi Talmidim, printed at the end of the Masechta, explains that Rashi himself originally understood all Gemara that way as well. When we talk about Mazal Kima Oila or Shekeya, we don't mean the actual physical Mazal Kima that you see in the sky. We're talking about the when it's in the sky versus not. We're talking about when it has an when it has this kind of astrological influence and when not. So the idea would be that each one has an influence for 1 hour, and then the next one takes over, and so each one influences things twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. Anyway, those are the various explanations of our Gemara over here. One more thing we need to add is that the Gemara in Brachas explained that that this mazel, or this group of stars, or whatever, called Kima, is associated with coldness. So now let's go back to the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua, the day that the Malbo began was the 17th of the year, Yom Shemazel Kima Shekeya Bayom. A day that Mazal Kima is Shekeya during the day, which again, according to Rashi over here, means that it's already above the horizon and on its way to setting. According to Tosfos, the Gira says the other way around, that it's Oila Bayom, that's rising during the day, because it's rising above the horizon. And according to Rashi, at the end of the Masechta, it means that at the time when Mazal Kima's influence is felt by, is waning, is going away by day. Umayonis Mismatin, it's also the time of year when year is the time when the springs are getting smaller, because you have, they're fed by melting snow during the winter. By year, all the snow, even in the higher mountains, is melted, and therefore the springs of water in the ground are much smaller than they are earlier in the year. So Rabbi Yeshua continues, because the people of the Dor HaMabul changed their maisim, they did differently than they were supposed to. They did all kinds of averus. Hashem changed the natural order of things against them. The hell of Mazal Kima Bayom. Instead, he made Mazal Kima come up by day, which we said that it's usually Shekeya Bayom. Here it's the other way around. It's Oila. It's rising and influenced by day. Then Hashem took two stars out of Kima and thereby Kavyocho created a hole in the sky through which the rain could come, the heavy marble oil, and he brought a marble to the world. Which the idea is, again, since Kima is associated with coldness, taking out two stars from it, in other words, weakens the power of coldness that it has over the world, therefore it makes possible, as the Gemara is going to say soon, to have boiling hot waters of the marble. Later on, by the way, the Gemara mentions in Brachas, after the marble, when it came time for the rain to stop, Hashem took two stars from a different group of stars called Osh and put them into Kima instead to fill up the hole. And ever since then, the Gemara says Osh is missing two stars until the Gemara says eventually Hashem is going to restore them to it. They're all representing the idea, in other words, that with the Mabel, not just things on earth got changed permanently, but even things up in the sky, even things up in outer space got changed for the worse permanently until Asiruach HaTumah Avim Min HaAretz, until the Gula HaMitzvah Vashleima, and then everything's going to be brought back to the original way that Hashem created everything perfectly. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yeshua. So we see, in other words, again, Rabbi Yeshua must necessarily hold that the world was created in Nisan and that the years count from Nisan. Otherwise, according to him, again, if you said that the Mabul began in Iyar, then if Tishrei began a new year, then already, in other words, between the next event that happened after Tishrei would be the Teva landing on Har Ararat, and already it would say there that that was the 601st year, and it doesn't. It only mentions that later on when Noach opened up the top of the Teva. Rabbi Yezer says the other way around. Oisayim Yud Zayin B'Macheshvin Haya. That day was the 17th of Cheshvin. Yom Shemazal Kima Oila Bayom. So it's a day when Mazal Kima, which again has to do with coldness, is Oila during the day, which again, according to Rashi, means really that it's below the horizon and yet to rise above the horizon. Because you think of it, Yud Zayin Cheshvin is 6 months. It's 6 months after Iyar. The mazel of that month is the mazel of that of Cheshvan is Akrav, the scorpion, which is six mazalos away from Mazel Shur. So at that point, in other words, in Cheshvan time, when the sun is rising, you have the background stars behind it are the stars of Mazel Akrav. And the other one, Shur, Tle and Shur, which are the ones that Kima is found among them, are way below the horizon. They only rise much later in the day.
But that's what Rashi is explaining over here, that Oila doesn't mean actually coming above the horizon, means yet to come above the horizon. And therefore, in other words, that's when it's having its influence, when it's under the, when it's underground, in effect, when it's not in our field of vision. According to Tosfos, the Gira says the other way around, and according to Talmidei Rashi, at the end of the Masechta, the point is that Cheshvan is the time when Mazel Kima has one of its true hours of influence by day, at the beginning of the day. Anyway, my Yonis Misgabrim, and Rabbi Yezer says that's also the time of year when the springs, when the springs of water in the ground are much stronger, because that's the rainy season, and therefore the rain replenishes those underground aquifers, and it makes that the springs now gush water much more strongly. So again, because the people of the Mabul changed what they were supposed to do, they did all kinds of things, they did all kinds of averus, the opposite of the way Hashem created the world and the way they were supposed to act naturally. Yeah, Rashi mentions on the Psukim that Mishkav Zohar and even the animals made it not with their kind, and then so on and so forth. So Shina, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aleihem Ma'aseh Bereishis, Hashem changed Mazel Bereishis against them, the hell of Mazel Kima Bayoim, and brought up Mazel Kima during the day. Now the Gemara is going to ask in one second, if Cheshvan is the time when it's Oila anyway, then what's the change? So we'll see in a second. The Notel Shnekei Chavim, he took two stars out of Kima, Behemi Mabul Oilam, and he brought a Mabul. So again, we see Rabbi Eliezer, that requires this to fit with Rabbi Eliezer is saying that the world was created in Tishrei. Otherwise, again, if according to him, the Mabul began in Cheshvan, if we were to say that the world was created in Nisan, then again, you'd have, by the time it says that the Teva landed in Chodesh HaShvi, it would already label it the 601st year, and it doesn't. So that's what the Gemara means by Va'ozdu the time Iri. Rashi also mentions, by the way, you have this really long Rashi that explains all of these, or the timeline of the Mabul and these astronomical facts that we're talking about and so forth. So Rashi also mentions that there were some people who wanted to explain that the Ozdu l'taimayu, that since it means that since Rabbi Eliezer calls Cheshvan Chodesh Hasheni, it must necessarily mean that alone would show that he holds that the world was created in Tishrei, and the fact that Rabbi Yeshua called Iyur Chodesh Hasheni shows that he holds that the world was began in Nisan. However, Rashi says that the Gemara itself is going to ask soon that according to Rabbi Eliezer, why is it called Sheni? What do you mean? If the point is Rabbi Eliezer is saying it's Sheni because it's the second since creation, then that, of course, answers the question. So therefore, we have to say, like we said, everybody agrees that by rights, Chodesh HaSheni should mean Iyur. After all, the Torah tells us, HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodoshim, meaning Nisan. The story of the Mabul is written in the Torah. We're learning it now after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Matan Torah. So by rights, Chodesh HaSheni should mean Iyur according to both of them. So the question is going to be, in a second, why Rabbi Eliezer is calling it Chodesh HaSheni. Okay. So first of all, b'shleim l'Rabbi Yeshua, I understand according to Rabbi Yeshua, things fit well, ha'inu d'chtiv sheni. That's what it means, the Mabul began in the second month. Again, if Tishrei is Chodesh HaRishon, always, since Yetzias Mitzrayim, then Iyur is obviously the second month. El Rabbi Eliezer my sheni, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, why are we calling it sheni? And again, Rashi is saying it can't just be because since the world was created in Tishrei, therefore we're saying Chodesh HaSheni means the second from that, because the fact is that's not how the numbers are, that's not how the months are numbered in the Torah. Even you can discuss when the year begins, but the numbering of the months definitely begins from Nisan. With that said, actually, Gilyan Ashas from Rabbi Akiva Eger points out over here, refers to something from the Radak that bring from Targum Yonasan, that actually before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the months were counted from Tishrei. So in that case, that doesn't fit with our Gemara over here, because our Gemara is assuming that even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Chodesh HaSheni would have to mean Iyur, were it not for some other consideration, but based on that Targum Yonasan and based on that Radak, it would come out, no, the Mabul is 800 years before Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's quite right to call Cheshvan Chodesh HaSheni. Anyway, all Gemara is not taking that assumption. So then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, why are we calling it Chodesh HaSheni? The answer is he would say Sheni L'Din. It means it was the second month since the Din. Hashem judges the world on Rosh Hashanah. Everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua both agree to that. So therefore, in Rosh Hashanah of that year, Hashem made the final Gzeder. There is going to be a Mabul, unless they do Tshuva. And they didn't, and therefore the Mabul came B'Chodesh HaSheni in the second month since that decision. Not the second month of the year, Rabbi Eliezer would say. The Gemara says, "B'shleim l'Rabbi Yeshua, ha'inu d'shina." Now, according to Rabbi Yeshua, that we're saying that the Mabul began at a time of year when Kima is Shekeah, however we define Shekeah, then we understand, then we understand Hainu Deshina. So now we understand what was changed, that Hashem brought up Mazel Kima Bayoy. And that you have also, that Rabbi Yeshua says, that Iyar is the time when the springs, when the springs of water are less in intensity, and now Hashem made them gush more powerfully, and you have, there was rain from above, and the springs welling up from below. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, that's the Shinui. Elo Rabbi Yeza, my Shina, but according to Rabbi Yeza, what's the Shinui? Mazel Kima is rising in Cheshvin anyway, so making it rise doing Cheshvin is not anything different. The Mayonis are strong already in Cheshvin, so making them strong for the marble is not any different. So what change are we saying that Hashem made as a punishment for the fact that Shinu Maaseim? And the answer is Kiddur Chista. The answer is, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a difference in there's a change that Hashem made, namely what Rav Chista says. Da'amar Rav Chista, b'roischin kukulu over roischin nidoinu. They, the people of the Dirt Amabel, sinned involving roischin, involving boiling, involving hot liquids, over roischin nidoinu, and they were punished with boiling hot water. B'roischin kukulu means ba'avera, with znus. In general, in Shas, when it uses the word avera without specification, it means znus. So they were mezana. They were moitzi zera levatola. They were doing all these bias asuras and everything, which involves hot shichvas zera. So they, that was their avera. Uberoischen nidonu, and that they were punished with boiling hot water. How do we know that? How do we know the water or the marble was boiling hot? Because ksiv hocha vayashoyku hamoyim, it says after the 40 days and 150 days, the water calmed down. You have in Megillas Esther, the anger of the king calmed down, where anger is described as hot. So therefore, we see the word shachacha means to cool off. So therefore, vayashoyku hamoyim means the water cooled off, implying that up till that point it was hot. So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, then, that's the difference. That's when we say shina kodesh baruch aleihem. You're right. It's not a difference as far as the position of mazel kima. That was the same as usual. It's not a difference of how powerfully the springs are gushing forth water, that they anyway doing during cheshvin. But the difference is that usually it would be cold. Usually it would be cold water, and now all of a sudden it's boiling hot water. So the Gemara finishes off the discussion. Tanan Abanan, Chachmei Yisrael Moinim Amabel Kedav Eliezer, but the Tekufa Kedav Yeshua. The Jewish Chachamim count the Mabel according to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning that we say that the Mabel did begin in Cheshvin and then finished Cheshvin of the next year. That Chachmei Yisrael understand the way Rabbi Eliezer says, that we say not necessarily because we say B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, but because we'd say that Tishrei, after all, is the beginning of the years, Rosh Hashanah Lashonim, as we said in our Mishnah. Because after all, Tishrei is an important Rosh Hashanah as far as many things that it says in our Mishnah. So therefore, they consider that Hashem judged the world in Tishrei, like we just said, and then decided that the marble would come in Cheshvin. Well, the Tekufa Kedav Yeshua. When it comes to the Tekufa, when it comes to calculating the Tekufas of the Tekufa of the sun and the Molad of the moon and so forth, then the Chachmei Yisrael count them from Nisan. Which, for example, so we have in our calendar nowadays, so when we actually count the Molados, we actually count them from Tishrei. We count them actually from Tishrei. We talked about this yesterday or a couple of days ago. We count them actually from Tishrei. That was before Maaseh Bereishis even. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's half a year before. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's almost a full year before. We count from what's called Molad Baharad, which is a calculated Molad that would have been on Sunday night going into Monday, 5 hours into the night in 204 Halakim. Now, when you think about it, when was the sun and moon created? On Wednesday. So that doesn't fit. If we were actually counting from Tishrei, we would have to have a Molad of then that was on Wednesday. The following year, it doesn't work either. The following year, the calculated Molad Tishrei is Vayad, Vav Yodalad, 6 days, meaning Friday, 14 hours in the day. So that doesn't work either. What is it? The Molad of Nisan, which is between them, is on Wednesday at 9 hours and 642 halakim, and that is when we consider, so does that, and that fits with the sun and moon being created on Wednesday. So therefore, so we see that we're calculating the tekufas, we see that we're calculating the tekufas and the melodas according to Rabbi Yeshua. Also, for that reason, we say that Birkas Hachama, what do we do Birkas Hachama once every 28 years, we're commemorating that the sun is in the same relative position as it was in Maaseh Bereishis. That is following Shmuel's understanding of the Tekufa, which, fine, is not astronomically exactly correct, but it's a good approximation. That a solar year is exactly 365 days and 6 hours. So therefore, according to that, it comes out the Tekufa of Nisan is always going to be at either 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 12 a.m., or 12 p.m., and it cycles through the days of the week. Every 28 years, it comes out Tuesday, 6 p.m., which Tuesday, 6 p.m. is the beginning of Wednesday, because Vayera Vayivoyter. So therefore, that's when the sun was originally created, and every 28 years, when the Tekufa of the sun is at that time, according to Shmuel, is when we do Birkas HaChamah. So it comes out that we're calculating the Tekufas and the Melodos according to Rabbi Yeshua from Nisan. In other words, we're taking the view, in effect, that the world was created in Nisan and that we calculate things from there. On the other hand, when it comes to the Mabul, we're saying like Rabbi, they're saying like Rabbi Eliezer, so it's not that the years of the world begin from Tishrei, but that Hashem judged the world in Tishrei and made that decision. On the other hand, the Chachamim of the Goyish nations, they count even the Mabul, like Rabbi Yeshua, they understand that the Mabul in fact began in Iyar and ended Iyar the following year. So that's how it is then. Actually, Rabbi Hanano has a different understanding of it. He distinguishes when we say the Tekufa, he says it means strictly the motions of the sun that we're calculating from Nisan according to Rabbi Yeshua, the Melodos, rather we calculate from Tishrei. Fine. The Mishnah continues, V'layirotis. The Mishnah continues that another thing that Aleph Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for is vegetables. So what does that mean? So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, L'yirokos l'maisris l'nedorim. The Braisa expands on our Mishnah and mentions for vegetables, for maisris, and for nedorim. So first of all, L'yirokos ma'ininu, what do we mean? What do we need a Rosh Hashanah for vegetables for? It means maisir yerek. It means as far as taking maisir from them. You have to know what year those vegetables belong to. And as we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, it depends on liquid. Which on the face of it, liket means to pick the vegetables. Later on in the sugya, Tosfos brings the possibility that maybe liket means when they're ready to be picked, not necessarily when they're actually physically picked. Anyway, so what do you mean? Rosh Hashanah l'yirokos means as far as to know what year they belong to, as far as Meiser, as far as Shmita, whatever. Well, Hainu Meisris. So isn't that the same thing as Meisris? So we understand why our Mishnah is using the word Yerokos, but why is the Braisa splitting them out and saying Yerokos and Meisris as though they're two separate things? The answer is Tana de Rabbanon, Bekatoni Doraisa. Because the Braisa is mentioning Meiser of vegetables, which is de Rabbanon, and then afterwards it's mentioning Meisris, meaning the kind that are Doraisa. Here and in a number of other places in Shas, you have Tosfos discusses exactly what kind of produce is chayev in Truma and Maisa Daraisa and what kind only Dirabana. Tosfos here and in some other places points out that based on all Gemara, based on other Gemaras, that apparently only Dogon Kirish V'Yitzor, only grain and wine and oil, meaning grapes and olives, are chayev in Truma and Maisa Minatora. All other kinds of fruits, as well as all vegetables, are chayev only Dirabana. And that's how Tosfos explains our sugya and various other sugyas in Shas in that vein. Rashi also holds that way. On the other hand, the Rambam disagrees and says that all fruits, all tree fruits are chayiv and truma and maisa daraisa. Vegetables, he agrees, are only dirabanan. There's a Gemara in Nedarim that explains that either way, the maisa of vegetables and of things that aren't chayiv and atorah began in the time of King Chizkiyahu. Before that, the Jewish people had been a bit careless with giving their Truma and Meiser, and the Kohenim needed to live off of to be able to teach the people Torah. Chizkiyahu knew that it's very important that everybody needs to know Torah, especially in order to save them from the danger of Sanhedrin. So he promoted the point that everybody needs to support the Kohenim and Levim. And so at that time, he and his Beis Din made the Takana of Meiser on vegetables. So the Gemara says, Tonim Dirabonim Bakatoni Daraisa. So the Tana of the Braisa is mentioning Eurocus and Maestris separately, meaning Eurocus is vegetables which are Chayav only Dirabonon, and Maestris means the Maestris of the various things that are Chayav Daraisa, which according to Tosfos is only three species, and according to the Rambam is all tree fruits. So the Gemara asks, well, listen to Daraisa Bereisha. Fine, so why doesn't the Braisa mention first Maestris, which would mean Maestris, which is Daraisa, and then Eurocus, which is Dirabonon? And the answer is, as the Gemara mentions in some other places, Aidi de Chaviva Lei Achtama, because something Drabbanan is more precious to the Tana, in the sense that Chavivim Divrei Sofrim, Hashem himself says, Kaviyachol, that Divrei Sofrim, the Takonis of the Chachamim, are more precious to him than things of the Torah, because when we take on those Takonis, it shows that we really accept the Torah and that we love it and we want to make a fence around it. So therefore, so the Tana also takes the same view that he prefers the Takonah Derabbanan over, in a way, even more important than the Din D'Oraisa. Therefore, he mentions Yirokas first. So that explains why he puts Yirokas first. Okay, the Tana Didan. What about our Tana? Why doesn't he use the word, why doesn't he mention Yirokas and Maestris, like the Tana of the Braisa does? And the answer is, okay, Tana Derabbanan, B'chol Shekein D'Oraisa. He mentions Derabbanan, and we're meant to understand a Kol Shekein, that it means D'Oraisa. Not really Kol Shekein, it's not really the Ritual points out, it's not really a Kavach Chomer over here, but in other words, when we say that Rosh Hashanah, when we say that Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah of L'Yirokas, we're meant to understand that it includes every kind of Maaser. It includes vegetables, which are Chayiv and Maaser, and you're meant to understand from that everything else, all other produce that is Chayiv and Maaser, whether D'Oraisa or Derabbanan. Okay, the Gemara asks for listening Maaser. So why doesn't he teach Maaser? And there are two ways of understanding what the question is. Is the question on the Braisa why it says Maaserois in the plural rather than Maaser in the singular? Or is it on our Mishnah why it says L'Yirokas instead of L'Maaser? Why didn't it say Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim L'Shmitim L'Yirokas L'Maaser? So two ways of understanding the question. And the answer is Echad Maaser Behema, the Echad Maaser Dagon. Because Maaserois refers to Maaser Behema and Maaser Dagon. So if you say that the question is on the Braisa, then the answer is the Tana of the Braisa didn't just want to mention, didn't just want to say Maaser in the singular, because that would imply only one of them is on Aleph Tishrei. And in fact, the Tana of the Braisa holds, like Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, that Maaser Behema, also the Rosh Hashanah of it, is on Tishrei. That's one way of understanding the question and the answer. If we say the question and the answer is on our Mishnah, then the reason is because if our Mishnah uses the word Maaseris, then it would falsely imply that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that Maaser Behema takes place on Aleph Tishrei, and we said that not. The Tana Kama of our Mishnah is your mayor who holds that it's on Aleph Elul. So therefore, you instead use the word Yirokas. Okay, so the Gemara asks for listening Yerek. Fine, so why does it say Yirokos in the plural? Why not Yerek in the singular? And it means generically all kinds of vegetables. And the answer is Tirei Gavni Yerek. The answer is because there's two different ways in which Yerek can become Chayev and Maestris. Ditnan, Yerek HaNegad Mishe Yogid. We say, as now, besides which we were talking over here about when, what year a particular vegetable belongs to. Does it belong to one year or the next, as far as Maestris? But you also have a different issue, a somewhat related, but yet different issue. At what point does produce become nikba, which we talk about this in the Sefer Beitza, for example, such that you can't eat even a snack from it before you take truma and maaser? So the Mishnah describes that within vegetables themselves, you have two different kinds, two different times when you have the kviyas of it, where now you can't eat achilas arei from it. So yerek hanegad, when it's vegetables that are bundled up, like, for example, carrots or celery or whatever that usually bundle up. Mishiyah Ogid, once you bundle them in the bundles, then they become chayev and meiser. Mishayin and negad, if it's the kind that you don't regularly bundle up, then, let's say, for example, potatoes. Mishiyah Malas, akli, once you finish the box or whatever that you're putting them in, then they become nikba for meiser. So we see that within vegetables themselves, there are two different kinds, and therefore the Mishnah and the Braisa use the word yirokos in plural. In other words, to say, even though as far as kviyos for meiser, you have that distinction. But when it comes to Maaser, when it comes to the year they belong to for Maaser, then it's the same thing for all kinds of vegetables. So the Gemara says Tanan Abanan. So let's get more into these details. Likit Yerek Erev Rosh Hashanah Ad Shalei Tavei Hashemesh. If a person picked some vegetables on Erev Rosh Hashanah before the sun sets, v'chazer v'likit mishetavei Hashemesh, and then he picked some more after the sun sets. Now, how do you pick after the sun sets? It's already Yom Tov. So Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi that we're talking about that a goy picked it. The fact is, Tosfos themselves hold later on in the sugya that yolakit over here doesn't necessarily have to mean that when they're actually picked, It means when they're ready for picking. However, the Pnei Yeshua explains that Tosfos didn't explain that over here, according to their Shitta, because come on, it's going to be impossible to tell between the 5 minutes before Shkia and after Shkia whether it ripened enough in those few minutes for it to make a difference. So therefore, if we're talking over here before Shetavei HaShemesh and after Shetavei HaShemesh, necessarily we have to be talking about actual picking. Anyway, so you did that. So some of these vegetables were picked before Shkia of Rosh Hashanah and some of them after Shkia. So it's already Rosh Hashanah. Well then, they belong to different years. Ein Terumah Ma'aseh Mizal Zeh. You cannot take Truma and Maaser from one batch on behalf of the other batch because they belong to different years. Lafisha Ein Terumah Ma'aseh Lo Min HaChodesh Ala Yashan V'Lo Min HaYashan Ala Chodesh. Because you're not allowed to take Truma and Maaser from new produce on old produce and from old produce on new produce. This is actually Rambam these days. Shlosha Prakim is talking about this, and it was not so long ago in Perek Echad. So they belong to two different years, so you can't do that. And Im Hoisa Shni and Nechneses L'Shlishis. What if this Rosh Hashanah before and after which you picked these vegetables, but the previous year was the second year of the Shemitah cycle, and the next year is the third year of the Shemitah cycle? Then not only you can't take Truma and Maaser from one on the other, like we said, but also Shni and Maaser Rishon or Maaser Sheni, Shlishis Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. There's also going to be a difference. What Maaser do you take out of each batch? The batch that you picked before Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be taking Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. And the Maaser Sheni you're going to take to Yerushalayim. And the one that you, the batch that you picked after Shkia of Rosh Hashanah, or that a goy picked for you, or whatever, you're going to be giving Maaser Rishon to the Levi and Maaser Oni to the Aniyim. So the Gemara says, why it is that with vegetables, it should depend on whether and when they're picked. We're going to learn in a couple of blocks, we're going to learn in the Gemara why that is. The reason is basically because vegetables, as they're growing, you sometimes trim them while they're growing, and they continue growing, and you continue irrigating them. Vegetables don't grow well only on rainwater. So therefore, like in a certain sense, until you actually pick them from the ground, they're continuing to grow based on your efforts. As opposed to tree fruits, where, okay, of course, you have to water the tree, and you have to take care of it or whatever, but for the most part, they live off rainwater. So therefore the time is going to be, as we're going to talk about at the bottom of the Amud, we're going to talk about with tree fruits, you have a different time when they become chayiv and maaser. So the Gemara says, Menohani Mili. Where do we know this that we're saying that in the third year you give maaser oni instead of maaser sheni? Where do we know this from? So Amud Abishur Ben Levi, like this. The Pasuk says, Ki sechala laser es komasa tuos chabashona ashlishis shnasa maaser. It says, Ki sechala, when you finish off, laser, to give maaser, as called masa tuas, for all the maaser of the produce, bashona ashlishis, in the third year, shnasa maaser, which is the year of the maaser. And then the Pasuk describes, in other words, so what you do is, at that time, you give away all of the outstanding maestros that you have, like this. When you harvest your grain or whatever produce it is, you're not going to be eating it necessarily. You may be storing it away for long-term storage. So what you do is you don't necessarily have to separate out the truma and maaser right now, or actually Tosfos discusses earlier in the parak, is it that you have to maybe separate them as soon as possible, otherwise you're over on Baal Ta'achar, but you don't have to give them to the appropriate parties until a few years later, or is it that even the separating themselves can wait? Whatever it is, there comes a point in the third and in the sixth year of Shemitah, at the end of those years, you have to give them out to wherever they go, the Truma to the Kohen, the Maaser Rishon to the Levi, etc. And then you say Vidri Maaser, then you say there the paragraph that it says in Parshas Kisavai, Biauti Akodesh Min Abayis, Biauti Min Abatomei, Hashkif Man Kodshama. So the Pasuk calls that third year. You do that on Pesach of the fourth year and of the seventh year, because you have the crops grew during the third year, and then you put them in your barn, and then by the time you come to Pesach of the following year is when you've already given out. By that time, you have to have finished giving out all the Trumas and Maaseros of the previous years. Anyway, so we see that the Pasuk is calling the third year Shnas HaMaaser, the year of Maaser. So what does that mean? Shana she'ein ba'el a ma'aser echad. It means it's a year in which there's only one ma'aser of the ones that you had in previous years. Ha'ket said ma'aser rishon and ma'aser oni. It means that you're giving that year in the third year and also in the sixth year. You're giving ma'aser rishon and ma'aser oni or ma'aser sheni yivtal. Instead, there's no ma'aser sheni those years. The Gemara says, "Oy ena elaf af meiser rishon nami yibatol." How do you know? Maybe it means that in those years there's only meiser oni. Maybe there's no meiser rishon or sheni. No, Talmud Loimar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Ve'ela levim to daber v'amarta aleim." Speak to levim. Hashem tells Moshe and tell them, "Kisikhu me'es bnei Yisrael ha'meiser." When you take from the Jewish people the meiser, "Asher nasati lochem me'itam banachalaschem," which I gave you from them as your inheritance. Because remember, the levim don't have portions in Eretz Yisrael, so the meiser is in effect their inheritance, their portion. So in other words, he kishay akos of the nachla. So it shows that the pasuk is comparing meiserishin to a nachla, to an inheritance. Man nachla in lahepsik, an inheritance keeps on going. There's no time when you lose rights to that inheritance, and it goes from you to your children, etc. After meiserishin ain't lahepsik. The same way meiserishin, there's no break in it. Every year there's meiserishin, except for shmita, of course. But fine, shmita, nobody owns any of the crops or any of the fields or whatever. It's all hefsek. So therefore, we see if the pasuk is calling the third year shnas hameiser, meaning that there's a certain meiser that applied in previous years, which doesn't apply this year, it has to be meiser sheni. Where instead the pasuk is saying that you give to the ger, the yosem, and the almana, which is meiser oni. Okay, Tanya Idach. Then we learn in a different braisa, a different way of learning this. The pasuk says again, kisachala lasev gomer. When you finish giving your maisers in the third year, that means again when it calls it shnasa maiser shana shein ba'ala maiser echad. Again, it means a year when there's only one of the maisers that you had in previous years. Okay, it said maiser rishon and maiser oni or maiser sheni yivtal. There's no maiser sheni those years. Oh, yochol af maiser rishon nami yivtal. You would think that maybe maiser rishon also gets canceled that year. No. Talmud Lima, we have a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Uvah ha-Levi. The Levi should come and you give him his ma'aser, which implies, Kolzman Shabbat Tenloi, which means anytime he comes, any year, then you should give him. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. That's how we learn that ma'aser rishon applies every year. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says, we don't need that pasuk to learn. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov doesn't like learning from that pasuk, the Ritual explains. Because, after all, that pasuk also mentions that you give the ger, the yosem, and the almana. So, therefore, fine. The Levi is not coming as a Levi to take my sedition. He's coming as an oni to take my oni. So, how do you see from that there's my sedition that year? So, rather, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, the pasuk that we said before, Harehu Oimer, the pasuk says, Vela Levim, Tadabra, Vamarta, Aleim, speak to Levim and tell them, Ki sikho be'es b'nei soos ha'maiser, asher nasati lochem be'itim b'nachalaschem. When you take from the Jewish people the maiser, which you took from them, that's coming to you as your nachla. So again, as we said, hikishi akosav l'nachla. The pasuk is comparing my sedition to a nachla, ma nachla in lahefsek, just like a nachla never ceases. Af my sedition in lahefsek, the same way my sedition never ceases. There's never any interruption in it. Every year there's my sedition. So therefore, again, if we're saying that the third year is shnasa meiser, it means that meiser sheni goes away that year and is replaced by meiser oni. So that's how it is. Every year you have truma. Every year you have my sedition. Year 1, 2, 4, and 5, you then have Meiser Sheni. Year 3 and 6, you have Meiser Oni. And year 7, of course, is Shmita, and there's no Truma and Meiser at all. So that's what we mean. That's what the Braisa meant, therefore, that if you're going from the second into the third year, the batch of vegetables that you pick during the second year, you take Meiser Sheni, the batch that you pick during the third year, instead you're giving Meiser Oni from it. But again, the cutoff point is Rosh Hashanah, whether it was picked before or after Shtia of Rosh Hashanah. Now, we mentioned in the Braisa of the Nedarim, we said in the Braisa that another thing that Aleph Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for is as far as Nedarim. So what does that mean? And by the way, before the Gemara had asked on a previous daf, we wrote a Braisa on Daf Zayin that mentioned a whole bunch of other things that Aleph Nissen is the Rosh Hashanah for. And the Gemara went through each one of them and asked, why didn't the Tana of On Mishnah mention it? Here with Nedarim, it doesn't mention any such thing because the Gemara gave already an answer over there about Sokka, like Kamayri. We're not talking about things that end on Aleph Tishrei or Aleph Nissen or whatever. We're talking about things that begin then. And here also, we're going to explain as far as Nedarim that it means that Aleph Tishrei is the end for certain things as far as Nedarim. So therefore, the Or Mishnah has no need to mention it. So what does it mean with Nedarim? Tanan Abanan, Hamudu Hanah Mechaveir Lashana. If a person makes a Neder that he's not going to have Hanah from another person for a year, then it means a year. It means Mona Shnei Masachodesh Miyam Liam. Then it means a year of 12 months. So he made the neder. He made the neder. Let's say what's today? Tesvav Cheshvan. Then he's also Bahana with this other person until Tesvav Cheshvan of the following year. the im amar l'shana zu. But if he said I'm mudur hanah for this year, then it means this calendar year. Afilu like aman ela be'esim b'tish be'elo. Then even if he made the neder only on the 29th of Elul, one day before Rosh Hashanah, kiven shi'giyah yim echad b'tishrei also l'shana. Once Aleph Tishrei comes, it counts as a year, and his neder is over. So you can have a noah from the other guy again. So that's what we mean. That's what we mean. That Rosh Hashanah, that Aleph Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for Nidori. So the Gemara says, now afilu l'manda omer yomach b'shana eini choshev shana. Now we had previously on Daf Yud, we had a machloikas, how many days in a year are needed for it to be considered a year. We had Rav Meir saying one day is enough, and we had Rav Elazar saying you need 30 days. So according to Rav Elazar, why would we say if he made the neder erev Rosh Hashanah, is it already over on Rosh Hashanah? Shouldn't we say only if he made the neder from Rosh Chodesh, before Rosh Chodesh Elul? So the Gemara says, no, even according to that opinion, after all, what was the point of him making this neder? He wanted to cause himself tsar. He wanted to assur himself something that otherwise would have been mutter. Fine. So therefore, even one day that the neder was in effect, he already had that tsar, and therefore even Rabbi Lazar is going to agree that that's good enough for it to be considered a year. So now the question is, even Nissan. So why do we say that the Rosh Hashanah for Nedarim is Tishrei? Why don't we say instead of Nissan? And the answer is, Nedarim, Holacha, Haloshim, Ne'adam. The reason is because by Nedarim, you go according to common speech. This is a general rule in Hilchos Nedarim. Whenever you have an ambiguous expression that could be understood more than one way, you go according to what Loshim Ne'adam is in this area. And Loshim Ne'adam, people think of the year as beginning in Tishrei. So the year, as far as Nedarim, begins then, the Braise is telling us. So again, our Mishnah is not disagreeing. This is not mentioning it because Baf Sukkah, like Kamayri, our Mishnah is not dealing with things where things end on Rosh Hashanah, but rather where things begin on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now, getting back into the matter of Maestris. So now we're going to have a sugya extending over the next couple of blocks about Maestris of vegetables and of fruits and so forth. That's going to take us to the next couple of blocks until the next Mishnah. And the Gemara starts off. Tnan Hossam. We learn in a Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Maestris that for different kinds of produce, there are different times when it becomes chayav in Maestris. So in context, that Mishnah is talking about the time when you have enough gemar. Again, what you have is like this. Once you have a particular kind of produce has grown, then you have. There's a point where you're still allowed to eat achilas arai from it before you take maaser, and then there's a point where it has a kavius, and now you can't even eat a snack from it. So the Mishnah is describing over there with different kinds of produce. At what point do they? There's actually two ways of understanding what we're talking about. And Tosfos has a long discussion about that over here. Are we talking about the point at which they become chayav in maaser in the sense that if you, once these fruits have reached a stage of maturity, if you now go and pick them and make, for example, like we said, you bundle them up in a bundle, then they're going to be chayiv and meiser. Or are we talking about the time when before that they're not even chayiv and meiser? Are we talking about when they reach the stage in one year or in the other year, and therefore what year they belong to, like we said before? Or are we talking about not in terms of what year they belong to, but in terms of when you finish Gemar Melacha on them, or are they going to be Chayiv and Maaser? So the Tosfos discusses that at some length over here. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Hatiltan, which is a kind of herb, Rashi translates it as fenugreek, which is, you have nowadays they use it in Yemenite cooking and they call it chilba. It's a spice that has a bit of a sharp taste to it. They use it in their food. So that kind of produce, usually in and of itself, it's not maichel adam, but they use it as a spice to flavor food. So that, when is it chayav mishetitzmach? When it grows, and we're going to see in a second what that means. Hatvua v'hazesim mishiyav yoshlish. Tvua, which Rashi says, tvua means grain and wine collectively, and vahazesim and olives, which again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, those are the only three species that are chayav daraisa. According to the Rambam, there are many other ones that are chayav daraisa. And Tosfos also argues with Rashi and says that tvua can't mean only grain and grapes. Then why are we listing out olives separately? After all, tvua more generally means produce. So just mention tvua, and it includes zesim. So Tosfos discusses possible reasons why, because Zaysim are going to have a shear of their own that we're going to say later in the Mishnah, and because there can be a difference between whether you there can be a difference between whether you're going to be eating them versus whether you're going to be pressing them into oil. Once they reach 1/3 of their growth. So my mishatitzmach. What do we mean mishatitzmach? What do we mean with the tilt on when it grows? It means mishatitzmach lezroyim. Means once it grows as far as the seed. Rashi explains it means once the tilton is grown enough that the seeds are developed inside the plant. Tosfos disagrees and says it means once the seeds are mature enough that you can plant them and grow a new tilton plant. And Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi on this. There's no Gemara Bavli on Masechta Maaseros. So again, like we've talked about before, when the Gemara Bavli has a chance to talk about something in these halachas, it goes at great length into it because there's not going to be another place to do it. But the Yerushalmi deals with them on the appropriate Masechtas. In this case, there's a Yerushalmi on Maaseros, and it explains that what you do is the seeds. When the seeds are large enough that they sink when you put them in the water, then you know they're mature enough that the plant is chayiv and meiser. If they still float, then they're still immature and therefore they're potter. So Tosfos uses that as a proof for what he's saying, that mishatitzmach means once the seeds are old enough or mature enough to actually that you plant them and a new plant would grow from them. Anyway, so that's mishatitzmach. Hatvua vazeis mishiyaviyu shlish. And we said that tvua and olives are chayav when they reach 1/3 of their growth. So menahani, where do we know that it should be 1/3 dafka? So Amr of Asi, Amr of Yechanan, Umatuba Meshmeder of Yesi Aglili, or some say that's in the name of Rabbi Yesi Aglili, because Omakra Miketz Shev Ashanim, the pasuk describes about the mitzvah of Hakel at the end of 7 years, the Moyed Shnas HaShmita, in the time of the year of Shmita, the Chag HaSukkos, in the Yom Tov of Sukkos is when Hakel takes place. Now what do we mean? Shnas HaShmita, Maya Bibde, B'chag HaSukkos. What do you mean? Shmita is not still in effect Sukkos. Sukkos is 2 weeks after Shmita was over. Shminisi, it's already the 8th year. Ela loy malach, so it comes to tell you, kol tvua sheyviya shlish b'shvias lifnei Rosh Hashanah, any produce that grew 1/3 of its growth during the year of Shmita, before Rosh Hashanah, atem noyeg by minuk shvias b'shminis, then even though now it continued growing and you only harvested it in the 8th year, nevertheless, you still have to treat it like shvias. So in other words, even though so the pasuk is telling you that even you come to Sukkos of the 8th year, you still have produce which is considered to belong to the 7th year. Now the Gemara is going to ask later, and we'll talk about this tomorrow, how we know it means dafka 1/3. We'll get to that point, but right now we're saying that's what it means, that when it reached 1/3 before Rosh Hashanah, then it still belongs to the previous year. Now there are two possible things that can mean. Does it mean that when you eventually pick the produce, it has kedushas shvias, or does it also mean that now you maybe would not be allowed to dig around and to do the various malachas on this plant that you usually would in other agricultural years because the plant itself belongs to Shemitah while it's still growing, in other words? So Tosfos discusses that and says that no, actually, once Shemitah is over, you're allowed to do any agricultural work. So you want to take care of this vine or whatever it is that these fruits are growing on, gesundheit, it's not Shmita anymore. When we say that you noyeg minig shvias b'shminis, we mean strictly as far as the din of kedushas shvias, that those fruits, once they eventually mature and you pick them or harvest them or whatever, then they have kedushas shvias and all the rules of Shmita apply to them, that you can't waste them and you can't use them for other purposes and you have to do beer on them eventually, etc. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll talk about how we know that this means shlish. But right now, we're saying that's what it means, that once they reach shlish before Rosh Hashanah, then even though now, later on, it's Sukkos, nevertheless, that rule still applies. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Best Hashem.